Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Not have an economic recovery package, 500 million Americans lose their jobs. I don't think we can go fast enough to stop that. The president asked for action swift and bold.
Now let's stop right here. Let's start again. We have a Mad Hatter as House Speaker who says that every month that we don't have a pork barrel bill, 500 million Americans will lose their jobs every month. Now, the total population of America, the last I checked, is 300 million, but she says there will be a loss of 500 million job loss every month, which adds up to, wow, I guess she's speaking in the billions, maybe almost the trillions of jobs lost, unless we give her the pork barrel spending to which she has become accustomed. So we have a Mad Hatter as House Speaker who does not know what she is saying. We have a mad spender in the White House who is now giving away freebies to everyone, including, as you may know, it just happened about an hour ago, free health care for children, including illegal alien children. Who is going to pay for it? You moron. You idiot. You're now living in a Cuba-style American economy. They've just expanded the child's health program. This is the mad dream of the Marxist revolution. It's reauthorizing and overextending the state children's health insurance program, moving us to a system which is now available to illegal alien children. And the fact of the matter is the cost is going to be $32.8 billion the first year. Let me repeat that. $32.8 billion the first year. And this was not passed by executive order. This was passed by the Republicans and Democrats alike, who are all, as far as I'm concerned, insane. They're drunk, the ship is going down, and they're spending as though we're a rich nation. Pelosi the deranged. Is Nancy Pelosi deranged? Why does she keep saying that 500 million Americans will lose their jobs when there are only 300 million Americans in total? Was this a senior moment or a socialist moment? Is Nancy Pelosi fit to serve as Speaker of the House, or should she be impeached? Topic number two is a big one, a huge one, which is Obama has given in to Europe. Last night he gave an interview to the son of Meatloaf, that's Chris Wallachianski on Fox News Network, the son of Meatloaf, the meatloaf thrower. And on Meatloaf's show, Meatloaf Jr.'s show, he said he would be watering down the Buy American provision in the stimulus package. He's going to take out the Buy American provision in the stimulus package. In other words, he's going to export jobs to European steel manufacturers and others. But really, there's another story that you're not going to read in any newspaper. It's not going to make it to your local paper. It is, fortunately, on michaelsavage.com. And I'm proud to tell you we've had another huge victory. It's the lead story on my website. No one else has covered it. It came out on the Government Security News website last night. And nearly 7 months after taking delivery of a mobile X-ray system manufactured in China, the Port of Los Angeles is on the verge of canceling it, owing to the Savage Nation. That's right. Because we heard about this from Government Security News, and because I rang the bell across America about the sellouts in Los Angeles, Los Angeles has been pressured to cancel the Chinese X-ray contract, and you've got to read this contract and the story to understand how important you really are to this country. When you are given the opportunity to stand up for this country, you do so. Here's another story on michaelsavage.com. Iraqi woman had 80 women raped and then recruited as suicide bombers. No word from the National Organization for Women. A woman in a burqa, which is shown on michaelsavage.com, a doll of a woman, It looks like Fred Astaire's ugly aunt. A woman suspected of recruiting female suicide bombers has confessed to organizing their rapes. I will repeat, their rapes. So she could later convince them that martyrdom was the only way to escape the shame. Isn't it a wonderful religious organization that rapes women and then tells them in order to escape the shame you have to kill yourself? That's a heck of a structure. That's a heck of a spiritual structure, isn't it? 1-800-449-8255. There's another story you don't want to miss. Strangely enough, from the San Francisco Examiner, welcome to the major leagues, President Obama. And it says what usually works in Chicago to quell ethics controversies doesn't wash in our nation's capital. That's an interesting article because Obama is over his head. Now, what he did today in pushing forward this children's health program is to try to wash away the Daschle embarrassment, try to wash away the tax dodging appointments, try to wash away the 17 lobbyists who he's appointed, but it's not working. It is not working at all. Sure, it'll work with the poor. Sure, it'll work with the unwashed. Sure, it'll work with the illegal alien, but it's not going to work with the majority of American taxpayers who have had it up to here with this garbage. The phone number, if you want to comment on any of this, from Pelosi the deranged to Obama the Marxist to whatever other topic, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Josh, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. You see, Nancy, she thinks that there's 500 million people in this country that could be losing their jobs because she's counting the illegals along with the Americans. See, when you're a liberal...
But even that math doesn't work because there's an estimated 25 to 30 million illegal aliens in the country. And even if all of them lost their jobs, that's assuming they all work, which they don't. Because the estimate is about one out of three illegals works. The others live on welfare. The others live on government benefits. The others stay at home and knock out babies like loaves of bread because they're meal tickets called anchor babies. Do you understand that?
I do understand.
For every hardworking illegal that you meet, there are three to four at home who are not working, who are sucking off the system. So they don't even work. So let's forget the Mad Hatter's analysis. She's just out of touch with reality. Chicago, Brad, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage. I mean, I just turned this on. I'm a fan. You said children's health care with disdain, which is incredible to me. I understand your point, but you say it with this inflection, the same inflection you used to say rape while I was on hold is the inflection you use for children's health care. And it doesn't matter what inflection you use. It doesn't matter how much disdain you say it with. It's still a good thing. It's children's health care.
So anything for children is sacred. Is that it's a sacred cow?
I think that providing health care for all children in this country is...
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know Fidel Castro came to power on the same principle, which was health care for all, and you see what that did for Cuba and health care in Cuba. Now, who is going to pay for this, Brad?
Obviously, it's going to be taxpayer money. We know that. But you know what? If it's paying for health care for children, then I'm...
So all children should be cared for, even illegal children? Children here illegally should be given... gold-plated health care?
Is it the 5-year-old Mexican immigrant's fault that his father went over the border?
But it's not my responsibility to pay for his health care, is it?
It's just a moral imperative.
It's a moral imperative? Why? Because you feel that to be so?
Because it's a small child who's innocent, who hasn't committed any crimes.
Yes, but he is the product of an illegal alien father. So therefore, I'm going to have to pay for the father's crime.
Scenario, 5-year-old child has a tumor, goes to the hospital.
Don't you understand that you're talking about liberal platitudes here? You have a liberal shopping list. Who is going to pay for all of this, Brad? There are many things in the ideal world that should be and could be if there was money for it. But don't you think that with a broken economy, we have to draw the line somewhere?
I think drawing the line at taking care of innocent children when they're, you know, having issues and health issues, especially when it's something that's a life or death issue, yes, I think that's not the place to draw the line.
But why is it that you say that children's health care is a sacred cow? Where did it become a sacred cow that I, the American hardworking taxpayer, have to pay for everyone on Earth's health care? Where is it written in the Constitution that I must pay for their health care? Show me where it's in the Constitution. Can you find it in my Constitution?
Clearly, you're a strict constructionist. That's wonderful.
No, I'm not a strict constructionist. I want to know where you find it in the U.S. Constitution that I am required to pay for the health care of illegal aliens and their children. Show me where it's written.
It's easy to talk about this in an abstract.
That's right. That's what you're doing. You're talking about it in an abstract as though you're sitting in a classroom and that there's unlimited money and it's the 1950s and America is a great nation with unlimited money. We are bankrupt. We are a basket case. The states are broke because of health care. Don't you understand that, Brad? Have you been in an emergency room recently?
I have.
Okay, I have also. I was in three emergency rooms last year. And the other patients, four out of five of them were illegal aliens with their children coming in for a cold, a flu, and they wanted, you didn't care, $10,000 for flu? What's the difference? Schmuck is paying for it. The schmuck gringo is paying for it.
I love when you go into Yiddish. If a child is having a life or death issue and they ask you to make the decision, you're
Brad, let me ask you something. What percent of your income is taxable?
I know for a fact that I pay around 34%.
You pay 34. Would you be willing to pay 64% in federal taxes?
Is it going to be a socialized system where a lot of the things I have to pay for?
Now you're not answering me so fast. You had a moral imperative and we owe it to them. But I just asked you if your taxes doubled under Obama because it's a moral imperative to pay for the health care of children from everywhere on earth, for example, in this case, tomorrow it'll be something else that's an equal imperative. Would you be willing to pay double taxes next year, Brad?
I believe it's a false analogy because we would not have to pay that. We would not. Our tax rate would not double. It would raise, but not double.
Okay. How much more would you be willing to pay to satisfy your liberal credo?
If my taxes have to go up the projected, which I believe they said something like 3 to 5%, I would have no problem with it if it's taking care of all the children.
So in other words, you'd feel better at night. You'd feel good knowing that illegal alien children are getting gold-plated health care. That would make you feel good.
Once again, yes, I would feel good, and I know when you stretch the...
That's good. I'm very glad that you feel good, Brad. You see, this is the problem with children of your age. You've been brainwashed into... If it feels good, do it. But you're not a rational person, Brad. You're not thinking rationally about the nation's health. You're thinking about your moral imperative, which is just something that's been drilled into your head by your instructors and your teachers your whole life. I have no obligation to pay for illegal aliens' children's health care. When I was young and poor and my children needed health care, I did without luxuries to provide them health care, Brad. That's the way the system works. In other words, if I wanted to go away on vacation, I didn't go that year because I had to go to the doctor to buy my children health care. And I knew that when I had them. When I wanted to buy a new Porsche in 1984, and I wanted it very badly, I did not buy it. Instead, I drove a broken old Volkswagen because I had to put money away for my children's college education. I had to put off my pleasure in the present for my children's future, Brad. That's how I was raised.
You must have been a big Hoover fan, huh? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps?
I don't know who Hoover is. I know who Hooters are.
Herbert Hoover. That's what he would say when people were...
Herbert Hooter? I know who Herbert Hooter is. I know who Herbert Hooter is. Brad, you don't have children, do you?
I have one child. He's 9 months old.
And who pays for his health care?
Well, I'm a U.S. history teacher, so the Board of Ed pays for his health care.
So you have socialized medicine, and that's why you're so willing to tell everybody else that they should pay for health care for illegal aliens. But let's go back to me again, because I'll make me the issue. When I was young and poor, and I had two children, I put off what I wanted to buy so I could buy them health care, clothing, and put away money for their college education. I didn't buy myself a new car, Brad. That's the American way. It's not the Hoover way. It's the honest way. It's the manly way. It's not the socialist Cuba way. Have a nice day. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The only thing we have to fear is Obama himself. Obama the Magnificent said today that there would be a catastrophe if the pork barrel stimulus bill was not passed. And I think that this is beyond belief, that the man would not understand that we the people know he's lying. It's been estimated that 8 to 9% of the bill will produce jobs, and 90 to 91% of the bill is simply pork barrel legislation. And many liberals have come to understand this. In fact, the most recent Gallup poll says that, yes, most Americans would like a bill passed that stimulates job creation, but most Americans are not happy with Obama the Magnificent's pork barrel legislation. He's only fooling himself. Listen to clip five.
But make no mistake, a failure to act and act now will turn crisis into a catastrophe.
Well, for you it would. But let's stop right here. He's right. It would turn his crisis of confidence into a catastrophe of reality, where people would understand that this man is a shill, a Chicago backroom politician, put up on a pedestal, coated with golden robes, but in fact, the emperor has no clothes. He's absolutely right when he says that it would turn a crisis into a catastrophe for him personally. The fact of the matter is he must be stopped before he destroys America. That's my opinion. Today he ramrodded a children's health care bill, a so-called SHIP, S-C-H-I-P expansion, that will cost an estimated $38 billion, I think, the first year. Now, the fact of the matter is this Democrat version of the bill opens the door to provide benefits, health benefits, gold-plated health benefits at that, to the children of illegal aliens because it no longer requires applicants to prove their citizenship status. This is a backdoor amnesty by the rotten, stinking socialist Democrat crumbs who have stolen America from we the people. They have stolen America from we the people. Now, how do you people who have no children feel about this? Let's ask the single people out there how they feel about the moral imperative to pay for the health care for illegal aliens. How do single heterosexuals feel about it? How do single gay people feel about paying for health care for illegal aliens? Shouldn't the money go for American citizens first? Shouldn't the money go for veterans first? Your mother first? Your father first? Your grandfather first? Your grandmother first? Why are you supporting amnesty for illegal aliens in the form of health care? Are you that stupid? Are you that tied to the doxy of liberalism that you don't understand what a catastrophe this is? I believe that we're going to be seeing impeach Obama very soon.
Not have an economic recovery package, 500 million Americans lose their jobs. I don't think we can go fast enough to stop that. The president asked for action swift and bold. That is what we are doing.
I agree that we can't send a protectionist message. I want to see what kind of language we can work on this issue. I think it would be a mistake, though, at a time when worldwide trade is declining, for us to start sending a message that somehow we're just looking after ourselves and not concerned with world trade.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. So he offered you change. He offered you hope. And now he's striking the Buy American clause from his pig barrel spending program. The pig barrel spending program had a reasonable clause in it that required that iron and steel used in any project produced by the pig barrel spending bill, that the iron and steel be produced in the United States. But liar, liar, Marxist Obama has now said he's going to strike it out because it doesn't help Europe. Nancy Pelosi is either mad as a hatter from too much mercury in the hats that she's wearing, or the woman doesn't know what she's talking about. I mean, 500 million jobs are going to be lost every month? These people are crazy. I don't think you understand that these are revolutionaries that are running America. These are not people offering change. They're offering revolution. These are community organizers in the tradition of the radical Marxist Saul Alinsky, who made Chicago the birthplace of modern community organizing. And what the ideals of Alinsky are, if they're actualized, you would have a social revolution in America. It would bring about a Cuba-style government in the United States of America. These people have to be stopped. The stimulus, for example, has in it neon lights for Las Vegas, Harley-Davidson motorcycles for Shreveport, Louisiana, $4.5 million in Boynton Beach, Florida, to have an eco park featuring butterfly gardens. Chula Vista, California, would like $500,000 to create a dog run. Shall I go down the list? I will. A 36-hole disc golf course for Austin, Texas. Boynton Beach wants an eco park. Virginia Beach wants new tennis courts. Shreveport, Louisiana wants 8 police-equipped Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Chula Vista, as I said, wants a dog park for $500,000. These are not job creation programs per se. This is the classic pork barrel legislation that we thought we were getting rid of with Obama, the man who offered change. I never thought he was telling the truth, but you did, because you're naive. The fact of the matter is, this man is a social revolutionary, and I never wanted to live in Castro's dominated Cuba. I never wanted to live in Cuba. I never wanted to live in Cuba because there is no individual freedom. I never wanted to live in a program and a government that nationalized banks and nationalized industries, but that's what we're having under this shill and this fraud from Chicago. And I think it's time to start getting out the impeach Obama signs now. You need to print up the bumper stickers and stop this man before he destroys this country. The man has to be stopped. The man is not what you thought he was. He is a revolutionary. And just because the fools in the media don't tell you he's a revolutionary does not mean he is not a revolutionary. Obama is a revolutionary, and not a revolutionary for the common good. Incidentally, did you hear what he just said about taking out the Buy American clause? I'm going to play it again in a moment, and I want you to listen to what he says. He wants to make sure that his so-called pork barrel or pig barrel spending bill helps not only America, but the world. Listen.
I agree that we can't send a protectionist message. I want to see what kind of language we can work on this issue. I think it would be a mistake, though, at a time when worldwide trade is declining, for us to start sending a message that somehow we're just looking after ourselves and not concerned with world trade.
So there he is. You thought he was going to be a man who took care of Americans first. But in fact, the pig barrel spending bill, which had a little clause in it saying the steel and iron made in the that would be used for the road work had to come from America, even that's not good enough for Obama the Magnificent. The pig barrel bill that he's trying to pass needs to help the world, because he sees himself as the emperor of the world now. He's way out of his league. We have to stop him. Get out the impeach Obama bumper stickers now. Start early, start strong. They want community organizing, give them community organizing. They want in-your-face style, Alinsky-style governance, give them Alinsky-style governance back in their ugly faces. Impeach Obama now. Stop him before he kills this country. That's my opinion. Get out the bumper stickers, put them on your cars, and get the liberals riled up. Get in their faces, scream in their faces, don't take their garbage, because you're losing this country. In less than 3 weeks, he's passed 5 or 6 executive orders. He's made nice to killers at Gitmo. He's granted them rights they're not entitled to. Now today he slaps us in the face with a children's health care bill. Who is going to pay for it? It doesn't matter. His uncle, Fidel, has a children's health care provision. So the nephew, Obama, wants a children's health care provision. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is a naked Marxist. I don't care whether you read it in your newspaper. I don't care whether you see it on the nightly news. It is what it is. If it walks like a Marxist, if it talks like a Marxist, if it governs like a Marxist, it is a Marxist. This man is a Marxist revolutionary. We try to warn you. We try to tell you that as the most liberal senator in American history, when he became president, he would even govern further to the left. Were we right or were we wrong? You know we were right. And this is just the beginning. This is in less than 2 weeks. The man has tried to revolutionize virtually everything in this country. And this is within 2.5 weeks. Can you imagine 4 years of this man and what's going to be this, what this country will be like? Chicago, Lee, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I am furious. I'm 26 years old. I've prolonged having kids because I can't afford them. And Barack Obama gets on television today and tells me that I should be paying for other people's children. It's disgusting.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell the idealist from Chicago, who's glad that we're giving illegal alien children health care. He says it's a moral imperative. And as I told him, I had to do without things that I wanted, certain luxuries when my kids were young, to buy them clothing and health care and put money away for their college education. And I did so. That's, I mean, I had children. That was the obligation. That was a social contract. That's how the world works. It doesn't say Big Brother's going to give them clothing, education, and health care.
And on top of it, he had the nerve to say that kids want their parents to take care of them and feel like they're taken care of. And then he goes on and continues it by saying that it's the next step to move towards total socialization. So what, are we all children of Barack Obama now?
Impeach Obama now. Impeach Obama now. Impeach Obama now. Stop him before he destroys our way of life. That's the bumper sticker. Print it up and send it around the world. 1-800-449-8255. Phone number, michaelsavage.com, website. West Virginia, John, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm part of the impeach Nancy Pelosi crowd right now, and I'm going to impeach Obama crowd. I feel that Nancy Pelosi is going to ruin this country. I'm scared. I'm scared of what they're going to do to us.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is either a mad woman or a dictator, and either one doesn't work for me as Speaker of the House.
No, sir, not at all. I went to a website called Nancy Pelosi, and this.
Well, no, I don't think a petition is the way to go. I think that bumper stickers are the way to go. You'll cause hatred on the roads. You'll cause screaming arguments across America. We need to get a million impeach Obama bumper stickers up across this country in the next few weeks. The man has to be stopped right now. A message must be sent to this social revolutionary that we're not going to take this. We're going to fight him tooth and nail. We got to stop him before he gets total power. Look, I saw how Chavez came to power in his country and how he slowly but surely took control of all reins of government and then all reins of the private sector. He closed down opposition television stations. He closed down opposition media outlets. And now he's an absolute dictator of his own country. Obama must be stopped right now. Thanks for the call. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. San Francisco, Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, Mike, a big fan. And I am completely outraged on the fact that Obama and Nancy are talking about this health care issue for illegal aliens. But I'm so upset. I'm just trying to look for some good news. And the good news that I kind of see in that upsetting piece of information is the simple fact that if they're going to spend $38 billion, does that turn into hiring more doctors?
No. More clinics? No, absolutely not. No, not at all. It means that more and better health care will be provided to illegal alien children. So that if they come into an emergency room now, which I've seen over and over again, 5, 6, 7 family members sitting in behind the curtain next to me, the child has a running nose, they're in there for a doctor, a nurse, their latest of equipment. I don't know, must cost $3,000-$4,000 to treat a running nose because there's no cost control. You see, to the illegal alien, they're living in paradise. And the paradise is run by morons who give them everything they want and then more. But that's just the beginning. Who knows what the new spending will allow them? I don't know what they're going to get for it. They're not going to hire any new doctors. There's not going to be any money extended to doctors. There's no new jobs from this.
Gotcha. Well, you know,
In other words, more health care does not mean more jobs. More health care means money going into the pockets, perhaps, of hospitals and perhaps into the hands of HMOs. I don't think the money's going to go into the hands of a whole flock of new doctors.
But that $38 billion has got to be spent somewhere, and you're just
you see the – well, yeah, sure, but that's number one. That has to be spent somewhere, but who's paying for it is the real question. Why should I have to pay for children that I don't know, that I don't have any obligation to pay for, when they are not even citizens? Their families didn't even have the decency to apply to wait online the way my grandfather did. They jumped the line. They pushed other people out of the way. They got on the bus and threw the door shut. And then they said, now that we're here, we're going to own your politicians, and we're going to get every benefit while the other people are left out in the rain. No, I don't like this at all, and I'm not accepting it just because Marxist revolutionaries think that I need a Cuban-style healthcare system. I want to remind you that one of the first things that Fidel Castro did, and one of the things he promised immediately within the first day of seizing power, was universal healthcare, universal healthcare, universal healthcare. And in fact, Fidel Castro did give universal healthcare to the Cuban people. but it is amongst the worst health care the world has ever seen. The rich of Cuba fly elsewhere for health care. They go to Florida under aliases. They go to Spain. They do not let a Cuban doctor touch them. They are horrible doctors, horrible clinics, and horrible everything in that healthcare system. But it is universal healthcare. That's what Obama is trying to achieve here. That's why we are against socialized medicine, because there is a finite amount of money in the system. There's a finite amount of money for everything. We cannot afford to give everybody on the planet everything they may wish. So there it is. There it is. Obama says that the executive pay limits for bailout companies should be $500,000 per executive. He said they should not be rewarded for failure. Now, that's very appealing, and it makes sense up to a point. So he says that the executives of these bailed out companies should not be rewarded for failure. Now, let's notice Obama the Magnificent's words. They shouldn't be rewarded for failure. Is he telling me, though, that we should reward illegal aliens for failure? The failure to be legal, the failure to not have too many children, the failure to not have the money to provide for their children, the failure to be decent enough to go home to their home country and get the health care that their children need. How about rewarding illegal aliens for their failure, Mr. Obama? Impeach Obama now. I'll be back.
Savage.
Today, with one of the first bills that I sign, reauthorizing the Children's Health Insurance Program, we fulfill one of the highest responsibilities that we have, to ensure the health and well-being of our nation's children. It's a responsibility that's only grown more urgent as our economic crisis deepens, as health care costs have exploded and millions of working families are unable to afford health insurance.
Well, let's stop right there. What he's not telling you is that this is the Democrat version of the SHIP bill, which has taken out the requirement that applicants prove their citizenship status. So he has now expanded the children's health care program for the states to be applied to illegal alien children. It will cost $32.8 billion in increased funding costs. That's increased over the existing billions and billions it costs a year. $32.8 billion estimated the first year. Okay, that's number one. Now there's a whopper coming for you, and that's clip 29. Listen to this carefully.
Now let me say this. In the past few days, I've heard criticisms of this plan that frankly echo the very same failed theories that helped lead us into this crisis in the first place. The notion that tax cuts alone will solve all our problems, that we can address this enormous crisis with half steps and piecemeal measures and tinkering around the edges. We can ignore fundamental challenges like the high cost of health care and still expect our economy and our country to thrive. I reject these theories, and, by the way, so did the American people when they went to the polls in November and voted resoundingly for change.
Okay, they voted resoundingly for change. So this psycho thinks that the word change now gives him a mandate to do whatever the heck he wants. This egomaniac, Obama the Magnificent, thinks that the word change gives him the opportunity to impose a Marxist revolution upon America. Do you understand that you have an obligation right now? You better get yourself an impeach Obama bumper sticker from somewhere. And I'm not selling them. I don't have them. I don't care who makes them. Start putting them on your cars. You better get the word out. You better start the movement now. It better snowball real fast. And this character better be stopped real fast, because he's out of control. As far as I am concerned, Obama is an egomaniac, a narcissist, and he has no idea that 47 million Americans said no to his concept of change. They said no to George Bush. They said no to that old hack, John McCain. But they didn't say yes to Fidel Castro. They did not say yes to Karl Marx. They did not say yes to Fyodor Lenin. They did not say yes to Trotsky. They did not say that change meant Trotsky, Lenin, and Marx. They meant that they didn't want that bumbling fool George Bush. That's all it meant, Obama. It didn't mean that we wanted a communist revolution in this country. And that's why I say, ladies and gentlemen, if you think about it, Look at what this man has tried to do in only two short weeks. He closed down Gitmo, but he doesn't know where to send the murderers and the terrorists. He granted the murderers and terrorists constitutional rights that they are not entitled to. Shall I go down the list of the five executive orders that he passed that have been swept under the rug by the empty skirts and the empty suits in the media? Shall I then tell you that the so-called stimulus bill is about 90 to 91% liberal pork barrel spending that has nothing to do with job creation? It is simply a liberal wish list. That is not about change, my friend. It's about business as usual. It's about pork barrel spending as usual. The man is a liar. He's an outright fraud, as are all politicians, incidentally. He's no different in that regard. The only difference is that he's far to the left of any politician in the history of America. So if you voted for a communist revolution, by all means, you're a happy person. But I don't think that even the 53% of Americans who voted for Obama voted for a Marxist revolution in this country. I don't think they understand the ramifications of it, but I think today you have a hint of it. The ramifications include extending health care for illegal alien children, because this is the Democrat version of the bill, which no longer requires applicants to prove their citizenship status. So if you want to take care of doctors and surgeons and medication for other people's children, including non-citizens, that's your prerogative. Then what you ought to do is go to an emergency room and empty your pockets every week instead of buying yourself toys. New York City, WOR, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, I was wondering, if you not wanting to pay for these children's health care makes you a child hater, what does it make the people who give birth to children have no money for health care in the first place? Doesn't, like, child care start like...
Well, to me, that's the moral imperative, which is to have children you can afford. Don't have them if you can't afford them. Certainly, if you're not a citizen, don't come here and dump them on my doorstep and tell me I have to take care of them.
Shouldn't we arrest these people for child abuse, if that makes you a child hater?
Well, good luck arresting them for anything. You'll be arrested by Nancy Pelosi before they'll be arrested. If this keeps up, you will be a non-citizen in your own country. They'll vote you out of your own country in your own lifetime. If this is not stopped now, impeach Obama now.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I agree that we can't send a protectionist message. I want to see what kind of language we can work on this issue. I think it would be a mistake, though, at a time when worldwide trade is declining, for us to start sending a message that somehow we're just looking after ourselves and not concerned with world trade.
Every month that we do not have an economic recovery package, 500 million Americans lose their jobs. I don't think we can go fast enough to stop that. The president asked for action swift and bold.
That's enough with the 500 million was the whole point.
As you know, we have the full power in Cuba. The revolution destroyed all the enemy army after a hard fight. And when we took the power, which were our systems, free press to everybody.
That is Obama's political uncle, Fidel Castro, the dictator of Cuba, who said, we have the full political power. We have destroyed our enemies. We are very close to a Marxist revolution in America. Now, you may think this is alarmist. You may think this is extremist. This is 2 weeks into the Obama administration. The man has sold out America. Last night, Obama went on the Fox News Network and did an interview with son of Meatloaf, Chris Wallachansky. And Obama talked about the fact that the European Union had threatened to sue the United States over some provisions in the current version of the so-called stimulus package that would have required American iron and steel to be used in construction projects. And Obama, the great American, backed down. He said he would water down the Buy American plan. He caved into the Euro trash, who threatened to sue us if we dared to use our own iron and steel. I guess when Obama visited Europe during the campaign and said he was a citizen of the world, he was not kidding. What Obama said, if you just listened to the opening, was we can't send a protectionist message. So now, basically, Obama has made it un-American to be pro-American. Obama has said we have to protect Europe before we protect America. Obama has essentially said that he owes more to his many campaign contributors in Europe than he does to the steel workers of the United States of America. I read the bill. The Buy American clause said the terms public building and public work have the meanings given such terms as. In Section 1 of the Buy American Act, 41 U.S. Code 10C, it includes, and this means steel and iron used in these projects should have been produced in the United States. That would be any airport, bridge, canal, dam, dike, pipeline, railroad, multi-line mass transit system, road, tunnel, harbor, and pier that would be built with the so-called pig bill would have to use U.S. iron and steel, and Obama has thrown that out with the change that he promised. In other words, he stabbed the union workers in the back. Then we have the Mad Hatter, Nancy Pelosi, saying that there would be 500 million jobs lost a month unless this pig bill is passed. They're using the politics of fear, ladies and gentlemen. But here's something new for this hour, if you're listening for over an hour. This one should scare you very deeply. Now, many of you think that I engage in rhetoric simply for the sake of rhetoric. Many of you assume that I'm simply a host who likes to alarm you in order to get ratings. Here's a new story you haven't read in your local rag, your local socialist rag. Moscow welcomes Obama's plan for an 80% cut in nuclear weapons. Let me read that again. Moscow welcomes Obama's plan for an 80% cut in American nuclear weapons. Russia was ready to sign a new strategic missile treaty with the United States after the London Times disclosed. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to take this in all in the first 2 weeks? Are you ready to take this in? I don't know if I can give this to you. I don't know how much you can take. After the Times disclosed that Obama the Magnificent is to seek an 80% reduction in stockpiles of nuclear weapons. The Russians said, "We welcome the statements from the new Obama administration that they are ready to enter into talks and complete within a year, in this very confined time frame, the signing of a new Russian-U.S. treaty on the limitation of strategic attack weapons." He added, "We are ready for this." The landmark Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty signed by the U.S. and the Soviet Union in 1991 is due to expire in December. Obama wants to cut our nuclear weapons by 80%. Obama does not want to build a deterrence in the form of an umbrella, so-called Star Wars, that would protect us from incoming missiles, whether it be from a rogue state, North Korea, Pakistan, Iran, Russia, or China. Obama does not want to build the shield. In fact, Russia does not want us to have a missile shield, and Obama agrees with the Russians, but he goes a step further. He says that eliminating 80% of the American nuclear weapons will be a step towards world peace. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, in a world that is becoming increasingly dangerous, are we insane? Are we totally out of our minds? Now, we heard about neocons when Bush was in power, and they had heaps of disdain thrown upon them. But what about neo-Marxists like Obama? Shall we start throwing that phrase around in the media? I'll start it today. You can take it and run with it. Let's start using the word neo-Marxist whenever you see Wolf Blitzer. Let's call everyone in the media who is a slavish bootlicker of Obama a neo-Marxist, not liberal. Don't say liberal. Say neo-Marxist, because that's what they are. By definition, they are neo-Marxists. 1-800-449, this is someday, it's a shock a day under Obama. A shock a day under Obama. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. All these stories are on MichaelSavage.com, and I collect the stories for you from around the world. I don't write them. I aggregate the news. I try to pick news that's not on Drudge. Sometimes there's overlap. He does a great job. I try to pick news that's not on some other great websites. And we try to put them up so that you see a pastiche, a picture of the world the way I see it. Okay? Go to my website and see what I'm talking about. San Diego, Manny, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, first I want to say I applaud you for being the man with no name that everyone's afraid to discuss in government. And as a Hispanic living in San Diego, I just want your listeners to know that they ain't seen nothing yet. Hospitals have shut down here because of the massive influx of illegals, Michael. In a region where the population has been soaring, we have fewer hospitals. The one that was nearby to where I live was closed, and now the nearest hospital is another 20 minutes further away.
Well, that's because the pigs who own the hospital didn't want to provide free care for the illegal aliens. Had the pigs been willing to provide Soviet-style health care, why, the hospital would have stayed open.
Well, it goes beyond that, too, Michael. I mean, there's diseases now in our schools that are breaking out because these kids are coming from countries where the health standards aren't that great.
That's right. But that's good because that will democratize America. Once the liberal children in Marin County and the San Diego rich communities that voted for Obama, once the little blonde children come home with cholera, for example, and once the little children come home coughing, the little blonde, blue-eyed children come home coughing with tuberculosis, let's see what the Marxist parents have to say then.
Well, what they're saying right now is, see, this is the problem with liberals. They create the conditions for the depredation, and then they turn around and they blame it at their favorite target, the white.
Well, what they say is if we had given health care to Mexico before, the children wouldn't be coming in sick.
What they're saying.
I know. Look, Manny, don't try to think about why and how a liberal thinks, because liberalism is a mental disorder. And as a religious figure once told me when I brought him a conundrum I couldn't solve, he said there's a saying in the ancient literature that says if you put a stick in dog doo-doo, no matter which way you turn it, it's still dog doo-doo on a stick. So don't spend your mind trying to think how a liberal thinks, because they don't think, they feel, and they simply espouse groupthink. Manny, the fact of the matter is only when all of the beautiful little blonde, blue-eyed children of the pleasant liberal suburbs in Marin County, in Sonoma County, in San Diego County, in Westchester County, in Austin, Texas, only when the children of the liberals come home with cholera and tuberculosis, God forbid, will the parents come to understand that there is a price to be paid for their so-called Marxist utopian ideals. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Obama has sold out America by taking out the Buy American clause. Obama has sold out the American middle class by saying, even if you have no children, you're going to be paying $38 billion the first year in additional funding, mandated funding, to grant health care to all children, including the children of illegal aliens. So you must understand that you are witnessing a social revolution going on in America. This is neo-Marxism, for want of a better term. We heard the words neoliberal, neolib, thrown around for 8 years under Bush, and it was appropriate. But let me be the first in the American media to define this administration for what it is. It is run by neo-Marxists. Take it and run with it. I don't need the credit for it. All I need you to do is to define this properly. Josh in San Francisco on KNEW. Go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, Dr. Savage, to be accurate, what it is democratic socialism. And I can understand that you're upset because it's becoming the predominant form of government here in the United States, as it is in the rest of the civilized world. But you just need to get over it because you lost.
I'll stop using those gay phrases. You're not in a bar in the Castro. You want to have a manly discussion, let's have it. You're a loser. So naturally, to a loser like you who makes minimum wage, you like the idea of what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Isn't that really it, Josh? You want to take from those who are smarter than you and who work harder than you?
We believe in using the democratic process to obtain a more equitable distribution of wealth.
You're reading a script in order to agitate me, but I'm not going to go for the bait. You are saying what's yours is mine because you don't have the brains or the guts to earn it yourself. You want to take it from those who do.
We reject your international...
Who is we? What do you mean we? Who's this imperial we, Josh? Isn't your name Josh? Is your name we or Josh?
Try the 61% of Americans who's just elected President Obama. Okay.
Do you actually think that each one of them wanted socialism in this country, Josh?
We want democracy, and we want...
Do you think that all of those who voted understood that he is a neo-Marxist?
I think they're sick and tired of alienated labor, race and gender discrimination, environmental destruction...
Wait. Alienated labor? But your man, Obama the Magnificent, just shafted the American labor movement by deleting the Buy American clause in his pork bill. How does that fit with your statement just now that he's in touch with labor?
There's nothing final on the stimulus package, and it's undergoing revisions right now. So
Wait. There's nothing what? Nothing primal?
Final.
Nothing final? Obama just said that he's not going to sign the Buy American clause because he wants to make sure the world recovers as well. How does that help the American labor movement, Josh? Be real.
We're universal citizens.
Well, then why don't you go live in a universal nation instead of this one? Why don't you go live in Uganda or Syria? Why don't you go live in Iran or the Soviet Union since you love the universal so much? Why don't you try Iran, Josh, and see if you're... A sexual orientation is accepted in the universal world that you think exists. What is wrong with you? Don't you realize you're living in paradise itself? Shut up. The shame is you never had a father. You were raised by a feminist mother, and that's how you wound up. I can't help remake you, Josh. It's a shame you were raised by a single feminist mother, and you wound up what you are. You have no idea what you're talking about. The United States of America is paradise on earth. Go live somewhere else and then get back to me. So there we are. What's mine is mine. What's yours is mine. That's the credo of the neo-Marxist running America today. And certainly the last caller doesn't know what he's talking about. The folks who voted for Obama the Magnificent were voting for a fiction in large part because they didn't know who he was. And now they're finding out slowly but surely that he's a neo-Marxist. Those who can think and understand reality. But there were a large number of people who voted, who were conservatives, who voted against McCain and voted against Bush because they were faulty and false Republicans. Well, they were true Republicans and phony Republicans. They were protest votes. Then there was a large number of swing votes who didn't know what to do, and they were hoodwinked by the Wolf Blitzers of the world and the other empty skirts in the neo-Marxist media. I don't think they really would have voted for a man who wants to take from those who are the most productive in our society. Let me explain how this works so that you get the picture finally. Everybody grew up on the fable of Robin Hood, who robbed from the rich to give to the poor, and it sounded good when you were a kid. Gee, Robin Hood sounds great. What a great fable that is. He robs from the rich and gives to the poor. Well, maybe that worked in England prior to the advent of the democracy that evolved in England. And of course, there was a great truth to the matter that the lords of England were imperious. Most of them were cruel and evil. The lands were too large. The holdings were too great. They did exploit labor. There was child labor. There were no benefits whatsoever for any of the people. And so at that time, there was such abject poverty that the idea of robbing from the rich and giving to those who had nothing made sense. But when you live in a society as we have, where everyone has an equal opportunity, in fact, if you're a person of color, you go to the head of the line. Everybody knows that. You don't have to argue with me. You know it's a truth. If you're gay, you go to the head of the line. If you're a woman, you have an advantage over a man. Everybody knows that. It's just that they continue the big lie because that's the way it works, which is after you win, you keep demanding more and you keep screaming that you don't, that you're being oppressed or that there's prejudice. But any white male without any connections whatsoever can tell you that even if he scores 100 on an exam to be a sergeant in a police department, they will give it to a lesbian first who may score a 40. If you're a fireman who could lift a ladder that weighs 300 pounds, you won't get the promotion. They'll give it to a woman who weighs 90 pounds who can't even lift a garden hose. Everybody knows that who works in the fire department. So right now, we not only have equal opportunity, but we have greater opportunity for minorities and women than has ever been seen in America before. So in this nation, in that regard, there is no need for neo-Marxism, because should it continue down this path, the productive members will simply stop creating jobs and business, and the economy will collapse altogether, as it did in Eastern Europe and as it has done in Cuba.
Savage.
That we do not have an economic recovery package, 500 million Americans lose their jobs.
Do you realize she's as mad as a hatter, or stupid, or both? How could she say every month 500 million jobs are lost? The woman does not know what she is talking about. We have a mad hatter as House Speaker and a mad spender in the White House. Now, many of you say that Obama cares about America and the American worker, and that if we don't pass his pig bill, his pig spending bill, or pig barrel spending bill, whichever way you want to put it, there'll be a catastrophe. It'll be a catastrophe for him to not pass this piece of neo-Marxist legislation. But worse than that is that you don't understand that he's stabbing iron and steel workers in the back. The use of American iron and steel is right now in the pig barrel spending bill known as the stimulus bill under Section 1110. It says none of the funds appropriated otherwise made available by this act may be used for a project for the construction, alteration, maintenance, or repair of a public building or public area unless all of the iron and steel used in the project is produced in the United States. Isn't that a wonderful idea, that we should encourage the production of iron and steel in our own nation? We should recover some of the industries that have been lost to the greedy pigs who pushed through NAFTA and the WTO through Clinton and Bush years, the Clinton and Bush years, the pigs. The pigs destroyed so many of our industries. Wouldn't you think that Obama, the magnificent, would want to see manufacturing come back to America? Well, what you just heard today when he went last night on Meatloaf Jr.'s show on the Fox News Network, he went on the show for Chris Wallace, Meatloaf Jr., and he said he would definitely water down the Buy American provision. Listen to Obama, the magnificent, catering again to the Euro trash.
I agree that we can't send a protectionist message. I want to see what kind of language we can work on this issue. I think it would be a mistake, though, at a time when worldwide trade is declining, for us to start sending a message that somehow we're just looking after ourselves and not concerned with world trade.
We're only looking after ourselves? That's what you were elected to do. You were elected to look after America, not to look after the world. Are you that out of control, Mr. Obama, that you think you're now the emperor of the world? You are the president of the United States. Your job is to protect America and American jobs. And yet here you have the audacity to say that the pig barrel spending bill should help the world, not only America. Ben in Rockville disagrees. He's on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
All right. Well, my big issue is that the total amount of steel we're talking about, is it max $10 to $20 billion? Our exports are around $4 trillion a year. If we ignite a trade war and other countries close our markets to us, it's going to hurt American manufacturing more than losing a little bit of the steel. Now,
well, hold on. Let's halt right there. You're assuming that if we put up any kind of Buy American clause, they will stop buying American products. I don't know that that's true. America still makes products that the world wants and needs, Ben. We're not China. We produce quality products, unlike our friends in China who produce junk and poison.
But we do have treaties that we've signed, and
that's correct. And we in the conservative movement have been railing against the NAFTA agreement, the WTO agreement, and other such horrible trade agreements. We have said for over 10 years, at least I have on this show, that these agreements would destroy American manufacturing and jobs, and I was right. And it's time to get American manufacturing and jobs back to America. Isn't that the change that we voted for with Mr. Obama? Isn't that part of the change, to reignite the manufacturing base of America, not to continue to export jobs?
And I have a way around the trade war to still protect American jobs. The answer is you make all of these infrastructure projects LEED certified. Do you know what I mean when I say LEED certified?
I haven't any idea about bureaucratic jargon, no.
Well, LEED stands for Leadership and Environmental Design, environmental engineering and design. And so what it does is that it takes the total pollution costs of these production methods and shipping methods to the building site into account when you pick materials. So we couldn't get we couldn't get steel from China, for example, because not only are their factories dirty, it costs all this extra oil to ship the steel over to the U.S. So it would...
I understand, but I'm sure if you, in your intelligence and wisdom, were to get so far as to have this put into a bill, the Chinese would have it eliminated, and Obama would go along with eliminating it because the end result would be the same. And the end result is China does not want us to make our own steel. They'd like to weaken us further so that we lose our steel manufacturing ability. So God forbid we ever go to war with them. We won't even be able to make our own ships, tanks, and planes. You see, we play checkers, they play chess. They think locally, and they think short-term and long-term. We think only short-term, which is why we're bankrupt. They think long-term, which is why they're rolling in our money. Thank you for the call. They're thinking how to screw us now and down the pike. Houston, Texas, Jacob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. What a pleasure to talk to you. I grew up in Venezuela. My dad worked for Chevron, so I went to high school there. And, you know, all these people that say, oh, you know, we should be like, you know, other countries and how great it would be like to move to France and everything. What they don't understand is that in Venezuela, if you don't have cash and you get injured, they'll let you die. My brother cut his hand. And he was
What? Bleeding. You mean there's no universal health care in Brother Chavez's republic?
It's a joke, Michael. You know, what the people...
No, that's not true. You're simply a counter-revolutionary gringo. You're a counter-revolutionary gringo. Brother Chavez has provided wonderful universal health care.
What they don't tell you is that you hear the noise in the background channels banging the pots and pans, and that's how the people protest Chavez. They go outside and they bang their pots and pans as loud as they can, you know, because...
I was after the show last night, Jacob, I walked on the streets of San Francisco, and I passed a small protest of six or eight people outside the Venezuelan embassy. They had an American flag and an Israeli flag, and I was very curious, and I went over. And I was shocked to learn that Chavez is fomenting anti-Semitism in Venezuela and has just provoked a mob to break into a synagogue and wreck it the way the Germans did in Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Now, Chavez says he did not do it, but he is provoking anti-Semitism as well as everything else in his socialist republic. I think you're aware of that.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy is completely nuts. I mean,
no, he's not nuts. He's not nuts at all. He is playing out what a Marxist does. He wants to be the next Fidel Castro, only this time of the entire South American continent, not just of a small island nation. He would like to dominate all of South America and set up a domino effect, which is already taking place, by the way, in Bolivia, for example, and other neighboring countries. We see the advent of socialism and Marxists. Yes, I understand that a large portion of the middle class has already left Venezuela. They have moved to San Francisco. They've moved to Miami. They have run out of that nightmare that this Venezuelan neo-Marxist has created. But what you're saying is something different. You're saying that although he espouses equality, the health care sucks.
Absolutely. And, you know, Michael, how do I explain that to all the friends my age? You know, I'm 24, and everybody's like, you know, I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. All they hear.
But you're dealing with the brainwashed children of America, Jacob. They don't know anything. All they know about is pointy shoes and orgasms. That's all they understand. These are robotic, orgasmic children. They have no idea as to where they live, how great it is, and what a nightmare it is outside their own little world. They have been told America is evil, the white man is evil, the white man is a curse, the black man is wonderful, the brown man is better, the lesbian is better than the straight. They're insane. Their minds have been twisted. Their wires have been crossed, Jacob. Do you understand that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. If they live,
I know it's exactly right. And if I have to be the last man in the free media of America saying it like it really is, I will do so until the day that the neo-Marxist Obama the Magnificent shuts off the airwaves the way Uncle Fidel did in Cuba. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Impeach Obama now. Get the bumper stickers out. Be proud and wear them on your bumper sticker. Wear the bumper sticker, Impeach Obama Now. Portland, Oregon, Kurt, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Savage, I came straight home from work today. I went on the computer, I printed out an Impeach Obama sign, put it in the back of my car window, drove up to the grocery store, guy pulls in next to me, and he says, I love your bumper sticker. Do you make it yourself? I said, yes. He says, you should start printing out more. You could probably start selling those pretty soon. So
now, here's the thing, Kurt. Liberals are sneaks and cowards, by and large. There are some exceptions, but most of them are sneaky and cowardly. If you put an Impeach Obama bumper sticker on your car, the sneaky vermin will trash your car when you're not looking. And that is why I say to you, you should print the bumper sticker up, but don't put it on your bumper. Put it in your rear window. Prop it up so you can remove it when you park the car, so the sneaky, cowardly liberals cannot single out your car and trash it. You follow me?
I follow you, and that's where I got it.
You see, they're not like we conservatives who had to put up with the impeach Bush signs and the hate the Republican signs and, you know, that kind of thing. We let people express themselves freely because we believe in freedom of speech. They don't. And the only way to fight them is to get in their face. Don't be afraid of them. But understand how sneaky and dangerous they can be when nobody is looking. They work in the dark of night. They despise the sanitization of sunlight. Chicago, Jessica, welcome to the program.
Just like every great socialist, Obama's ultimate goal is to keep the poor and downtrodden right there under his heel. And I believe that it's best illustrated by his signing of this new health care bill. Because if you look at, he's claiming that the health care bill is going to be financed mostly by an increase in cigarette tax. Well, the biggest target market for cigarettes nowadays is people that are lower or lower middle class.
That's right.
If you look at the...
All right, well, let's pause on this for a minute. Do you know how much a carton of cigarettes costs today, Jessica? I don't smoke. Give me the price.
About $84.
What?
Yeah.
A pack of cigarettes, $8.40?
A pack of cigarettes in Chicago is anywhere between $8 and $12.
All right. Now, how much will it be a pack of cigarettes after this child health care tax, roughly?
I have absolutely no idea. In Chicago, it's probably going to get up to $15 to $16.
All right. Do you know that what they're doing here, in addition to what apparently they're doing, is something else? I've seen it in the prisons. They have made it illegal to smoke cigarettes in our prisons where men are locked up 24 hours a day, sometimes for the rest of their lives. Now, what do you think, by banning cigarettes, they have encouraged in the prisons? And do you think it's by accident that they've encouraged the use of drugs, hard drugs? They have taken away cigarettes from inmates. They have taken away the one relief they had, not even a smoking section. They've banned cigarettes entirely so that they're driving them into smoking marijuana. Methamphetamine usage is through the skylight. Pruno is being manufactured because the poor inmates have no outlet whatsoever. And so, therefore, there's actually a conspiracy to deny them cigarettes in order to drive them into the black market of illegal drugs. It's all a conspiracy, by the way, and it fits very, very neatly with what Obama's doing here. The price of a pack of cigarettes is going to be about equal to a small amount of marijuana. Do you understand that this is going to give children the choice of cigarettes or marijuana, and they're liable to choose marijuana because they've been brainwashed into thinking that it's less harmful for them than cigarettes, when in fact the reverse is true?
Absolutely. And then guess what? It's going to keep them in the lower class. And if you look at the voting group that Obama...
Well, yes, but that's what the Democrats count on. The Democrats are simply doing it by demographics and numbers. If they can supply more goodies to more poor, they will be in office forever. Damn the country, damn the republic, and damn the Constitution. All they care about is naked power. Thank you for the call. Now, before I take this break, please go to michaelsavage.com and look at the most important story, and I did not discuss it today. And that is, the Port of Los Angeles prepares to cancel its controversial Chinese X-ray contract. It's linked up from Government Security News, which, thank God, credits this program with getting out the word on this danger. I'll be right back. Savage.
I think America's greatest moral failure has been, throughout our existence, perhaps we have not devoted ourselves to causes greater than our self-interest, although we've been the best at it.
That's Benedict Arnold McCain, who was roundly defeated, in fact, destroyed the Republican Party for good. We conservatives knew he was a fraud. We knew he was a New World Order guy. We knew he was also unreliable. Well, I have news for you. Not only were we were right in spades. This came out minutes ago, and you're not going to believe what Benedict Arnold McCain just did today. McCain has just introduced an amendment to kill the Buy American clause. I will read you the article. Republican Senator John McCain introduced legislation on Wednesday to strip the Buy American provision in the huge U.S. pig barrel spending bill. I've got an amendment to try to kill it, the former presidential candidate told AFP shortly after introducing the measure. I've got an amendment to try to kill it. The amendment states that the utilization of funds appropriated by otherwise or otherwise made available by this act shall not be subject to any Buy American requirement. McCain then went on to say, I think it is ignoring the lessons of history. We can't have this kind of protectionism. It hasn't worked in the past. It won't work now. McCain is a Benedict Arnold. Not only has he lost the presidency, but he will never be reelected in Arizona. My prediction is he will become a lobbyist, most likely like the other whores, for Dubai. He will become another in a long line of whores like Bob Dole, Secretary of Hate Madeleine Halfbright, and the other pimps for Dubai and China. I have other things I'd like to say, but I won't. I'll leave it at these mild statements. McCain has introduced an amendment to kill the Buy American clause. Want to comment on John McCain? John McCain, so-called conservative, introduced an amendment to kill a Buy American clause. How do you feel about that? He has attacked the U.S. steel workers. Do you think McCain is hopeless? Or do you think that McCain now shows that he's always been a neo-Marxist along the lines of Obama? Doesn't it matter to you that U.S. steel workers are entitled to jobs? Don't you finally understand that the cheap garbage steel from China has hurt North America? Don't you understand that Brazil, which is probably the world's biggest steel producer, has polluted their jungles and their rivers, destroyed the fresh water of Brazil because of the manufacturing techniques used in Brazil, are substandard, do not meet environmental standards of the kind that we have to meet here in America, that if steel were made in America, it would be good steel and the environment would be protected, while the steel that's made in Brazil and China is inferior and the environment is being destroyed by it? Don't you understand that this is nothing but greed? You don't understand any of this. I do. I see the big picture. You only see the small picture. So now you know that the liberal monkey, John McCain, has just said that he's put in an amendment to kill the Buy American clause. Want to comment upon this, or are you still reeling from what Obama did earlier today by passing health care for illegal alien children? Are you still reeling from this morning when you heard the mad hatter Nancy Pelosi say that 500 million Americans per month will lose their jobs unless the pig barrel bill is passed? Virginia Beach, Louise, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
You know, when Hawaii adopted this child health care program, the residents of Hawaii gave up their own medical insurance, and this program lasted 7 months before they went broke. Now, the population...
Well, don't you understand that it doesn't matter whether we go broke? Cuba also went broke, but they still have universal health care. The important thing is that they have universal health care. The liberal does not care whether they go broke or not. That's why we're broke, Louise. George Bush was a fiscal socialist. I called him that 9 months before anybody else. I saw what Bush was doing. Bush was no different than Obama in so many ways. He was just a prelude to Obama.
I understand that, Mike. You call everything before it happens. And you know what? Mike, I do not have a computer, and I want your book. Is there any way I can get it?
You know, I don't want to spend a lot of time in it. No, not right now, but many, many people would like to buy it, and I'll figure out a way to do that, Louise. I could probably, you know, help a lot of people would like the book. Well, we'll figure that out another time. I want to stick to much more important things than my book. So you learned today that John McCain has introduced an amendment to kill a Buy American clause. You heard today that Nancy Pelosi is a mad hatter. That she said that 500 million Americans will lose their jobs each and every month unless the pig barrel bill is passed. You heard today that Barack Hussein Obama is a neo-Marxist and that he passed a child health care bill that that will increase spending by at least $38 billion a month, increase by at least $38 billion a month, and that the Democrats gutted the citizenship requirement, meaning that illegal alien children are now going to get a gold-plated health care, a treatment plan because of you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
You know, when you talk about the enemy within, one could draw a very good comparison to the HIV virus, where a foreign virus invades a body and literally takes over a defense cell and duplicates itself inside the defense cell, and so then kills the body by destroying its ability to defend itself. It's almost identical to the Madeleine Albrights, who are now running around acting like they're our friends when in fact they're working for the enemy. So let's go to health for a minute. Of course, I talk every day about the health of a nation, but let's talk about the health of a body. Here's what Mark Twain said in Letters from the Earth. Disease, that is the main force, the diligent force, the devastating force. It attacks the infant the moment it is born. It furnishes it one malady after another, croup, measles, mumps, bowel troubles, teething pains, scarlet fever, and other childhood specialties. It chases the child into youth and furnishes it some specialties for that time of life. It chases the youth into maturity, maturity into age, and age into the grave. Mark Twain. And now I want to read you just one little entry that I wrote back in when it was published in 82 in Healing Children Naturally by yours truly on page 142 under chocolate. Now just listen to this, because many of you are chocolateholics and you've been told that chocolate's good. It contains antioxidants and I can eat more chocolate, and I can even give it to Johnny in the morning. Let's give him some cocoa. That's what good old Doc Brown told me. Pay no attention to those quacks in the nutrition field. Give Johnny anything he wants to eat, because here's this little shiny pill called Ritalin. We call it medication, not a pill. And that medication will keep Johnny real, real stable. So here's what I wrote. Chocolate comes from the cacao tree, an evergreen of the Coca-Cola family. It does not contain caffeine, but it does contain another stimulant, theobromine, which has effects quite similar to those of caffeine. When used to make cocoa, the amount of theobromine present would be comparable to the caffeine in a cup of weak coffee or tea, approximately 30 milligrams. Of course, chocolate is also a saturated fat and high in calories, and when used in cocoa, it is usually sweetened with sugar. Now listen to the following few sentences, please. Copper is also abundant in chocolate and must be avoided by hyperactive children, who often have low zinc and high copper levels. For the same reasons, we in the Savage home never use cocoa or hot chocolate for our children. They may seem innocent enough, but in fact are great nutritional time bombs filled with sucrose, bleaches, copper, artificial flavorings, and excess calories. Stick to warm milk flavored with carob powder and sweetened with honey, which makes a fine bedtime drink. Now, I've given you a lot of information there. I'm sure that the oafs in the media will say, oh, Bashaw, you give that child cocoa. Never mind what anyone says. After all, I went to high school, and I know about old doctor has you give him. Because those doctors have the interests of your child at heart. And they know, all of them know, what good medication is. Well, it's identical to the political situation. You're going to believe in Dr. Baker? Dr. Baker has just given you a recipe for destroying the nation. That's what old Dr. James Baker has just prescribed. He may look like the doctor of yesteryear. You know, after all, he speaks like the good old American doctors. Tall, good-looking, speaks with a nice southern drawl, comes from a good law firm, great family. Well, he reminds me of the doctors that used to advertise Chesterfield cigarettes in the magazines of the 1930s. Exactly the same thing. They'd have doctors say that I smoke Chesterfield for health because it's good for the T-zone. They were doctors, too. Well, now we have political doctors who are just like that doctor who used to sell Chesterfield. And the case before you is good old Dr. Baker. So if I've gone a little off topic, I've gone right back to topic, because that's how I do it. And that's the test of a good mind, is the ability to go far afield and come right back to the point that he's been trying to make all along. Now, I know if I keep up this health stuff, what's going to happen. I'll get a call. I'll say, Mike, I'm like that guy, that woman on the plane that had to bring matches on the plane the other day for flatulence. Mike, I asked, is there something I could take for so I don't have to take 10 books of matches on my next flight to Miami, Mike? What can I eat? What can I eat? Mike, while you're at on the thing for the matches, for the flatulence on the plane, can you give me something to make the down south part stand a little north? Point north like a compass needle, Mike. I don't want to like that Viagra stuff. It gives me a headache and I see blue. And while you're at it, Mike, I'm going to get the same thing. I don't want to do health. Please, no health cures. Maine, Susie, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just have a really quick question for you. I have a 16-year-old son. He goes to the gym two or three times a week, but he is overweight. I decided to take him to a nutritionist, and I just want to know what your opinion of nutritionists are. Are they helpful? Can they make a difference?
Most of them are quacks, uneducated adults who know nothing. They have no credentials whatsoever, but they are selling you a bill of goods based on other people's work. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't an occasional nutritionist with real training and a real degree and really understand what they're talking about, but a lot of them are in it and don't really know what they're talking about. You have to look at their education. You have to look at their experience. You have to look at their certifications. Now, you may say, well, I'll go to an RD. They're even worse. The research dietitian degree is a complete reflection of the AMA principles of diet, which are totally toxic and know nothing about curing people through food. So I don't know what to recommend. Well, I do know what to recommend, actually. I would recommend that you go to a medical doctor who has a subspecialty in nutrition. That would be what I would recommend. There are some very good doctors around who have spent a lot of years studying nutrition, and that's where I would take my son. As far as weight loss, I mean, there's no mystery to it. You know, it takes self-control, and it takes controlling the diet. I don't know what you need to go to a doctor for that for. Do you?
No, actually, his medical doctor did recommend this nutritionist to him, so I think
Well, so you're working with a medical doctor who probably hasn't, but the problem is, who is the nutritionist? A lot of them are self-taught. They read three articles in Cosmopolitan, and suddenly they're a nutritionist, so you got to look into that. Thanks for the call. I have a show that could be called How Not to Make Friends and Influence People, but you got to think about it. How did people survive for eons without nutritionists? How did people survive for eons without going to these quacks and taking a Ritalin? How did your great-grandfather survive? How did they survive the Middle Ages eating shoe leather, and they were still able to read and write? How is that possible that Western civilization was built before Ritalin was discovered by the quack establishment called the pharmaceutical medical establishment? How is it possible? There must have been people who were hyperactive then. There must have been. How did they deal with it? Everybody knows people like that. They didn't need drugs. They walked a lot. They talked a lot. But they somehow got through life without having to take a drug to turn it into a zombie. 1-800-449-8255. Much of this information is well established. It's been lost because the pharmaceutical and medical establishments want you to lose it, just as the political establishment wants you to forget history in order to manipulate you. It's the same exact thing. It's called the establishment. They control everything. Now, if you look at the control of the media by the few madmen who control it all, you'll find out, unfortunately, they also control the educational establishment through boards that they sit on. They also control the pharmaceutical establishment through boards. They sit on multiple boards. So the same power-mad lunatic who runs the media that tells you things about food that are untrue and tells you things about politics that are patently false will also be peddling you drugs that are unnecessary and peddling you diets that are clearly harmful. That's called interlocking corporate directorships. Check it out. It was once well established and well understood that interlocking corporate directorships would ultimately lead to the demise of the American. They were 100% right, and we're living through it now. I'm getting the calls right now, and I'll do them. Actually, this is fun. Beverly in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. What can women do
for PMS. I went to a doctor.
Oh, boy, did you open up a very, very tragic subject, because there are things you can do, but I'm not about to give you medical information on this show at this time. I really only wanted to bring up this book because the ADHD came up as a break from the political discussion, but there are many things you can do for PMS, and I think truthfully, and this is not a bad idea, if you go to one of these mega health food operations around, you know, like Whole Foods kind of thing, is there one near you?
Yes, sir, and I take a lot of vitamins, and I eat salmon.
No, but listen to me. If you go there, you know, you can get an education unto itself. Now, some of it's quackery and some of it's hucksterism, but some of what you're going to read in some of those brochures is worth thinking about. I'll tell you where I'd begin today, Beverly, with anything. The Internet has become the great unifier of knowledge. Some of it's junk, but some of it's excellent. I would simply do a search on the PMS and health, and I would read as much as I could, and I would sift and I would sort, and then I would try to consult with a medical doctor, an MD, who definitely has training in nutrition. Don't just go to any old Joe Blow MD who knows nothing about nutrition. They need to have studied nutrition. They need to specialize in it along with their medical degree, and you're going to get some wonderful advice right there, but I'm not going to give any advice today on this subject.
Savage.
Let us go to the callers then. In Houston, Texas, Peter, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, doctor. Friends and I are having a discussion. I'd like to hear your opinion about it. It's Shakespeare. I know you're a lover of language. Pin would mean a lot. Shakespeare, thine own self be true. A lot of people take that to mean that don't fool yourself. And a couple of us are also on the other side saying that actually what it means is that sometimes your own counsel and your own opinion is your best opinion. To thine own self, I would like to hear your opinion.
To thine own self be true. Well, you're asking me what I think it means?
Yes.
I think it's pretty self-evident what that means, which is no matter what people are saying to you, if you know that it's not right for you or not the truth, to thine own self be true. Listen to your own self. Now, does that mean, see, here's an interesting thing. An ultra-liberal would take that to mean it's licensed to do anything you want. But the question is, what is your true self? You can analyze that, meaning to thine own self. What is your own self? When I was younger, trying to understand what self was, I saw a series of boxes within boxes within boxes. Where is the self? Keep peeling away the onion skin, and what do you find at the center? And at a certain point, if you're an atheist, you find nothing at the center, and you get very frightened. It's only by finding God or refining God, because God originally is in all of us, that you find where your self lies. And once you find God, there are a set of rules, and then you have a self. And then you have a self to be true to. But without a core, without a self, you can lead to total anarchy. You can wind up doing anything with that so-called concept of self. I don't know if this is an answer, Peter. It was a little roundabout. Does it help in any way?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I know the phone's breaking up. That was not a bad soliloquy I just gave. I think the old bard would be proud of me. But remember what I just said. I think that should be captured. That's a very nice philosophical starting point for you to understand what that means, to thine own self be true. Does that mean follow any impulse you have? Why, that can't be what to thine own self be true means. You have an impulse to set a cat on fire? Is that yourself? Or is that some demonic impulse you have? Is that some out-of-control, repressed impulse? And what you'll wind up with is, you know, what they're doing in Menclure, you know, having sex with a horse. Is that your own self? Or is that an evil impulse that was in somehow instilled into a person through a series of degradations of the soul? And first the loss of God, and then the soul implodes worse than Chernobyl. And into that vacuum enters the devil, if you want to put it in medieval theological terms. You want to put it in current psychological terms, you need to have a core self in order to be true to it. What is that core self? Where does it come from? How do you build a self? Isn't education about building a child's self? Think about this for a minute. I don't want to get into this too much, but I'll do it for another minute. When you have a child, you really don't know much about life, as much about life as you should know till you raise a child. I got to tell you that right now. As intelligent, as kind, as brilliant as you might be, until you have seen a child born of your own, and until you have raised that child through thick and through thin, from dirty diapers to the diploma and beyond, day in and day out, worrying about their safety and their sanity, you don't really have a full understanding of what it is to be a full human. That's how I see it. And that's the way nature intended it to be. That doesn't mean there aren't brilliant, wonderful people who don't have children. Don't get me wrong. But there is another layer of difference between that and being a parent and sticking with a child. Anyone can be a parent. A dog can be a parent. Many, many men today are like dogs. They think because they impregnated a woman, they're a father. That doesn't make you a father, impregnating a woman. You know better than a dog. A father sticks with the child even if he doesn't want to. That's a father. That's a husband. That's the meaning of a husband. Anybody can run away and find another person to engage in that activity with. But a father sticks around. But anyway, I don't want to go there. So now, how do you raise a child? What are you trying to do with a child? You're trying to teach him right from wrong? Of course you are. So where do you begin? You let him watch pornography? You let him smoke a joint? Well, of course not. Even a liberal would say, I'm not going to let my child smoke a joint when he's young. I'm not going to let a child watch pornography. Why? Because those are evil influences. What are they going to do to him? They're going to lead him astray. They're going to poison his mind. They're going to weaken his neurological system. So you feed him the good food. You give him the right water. And also, you got to give him the right education. And that means watch out what influences your child. Now you find out that a liberal who has a child who reaches a certain age becomes somewhat less liberal and somewhat more conservative. The old joke was, what do you call a liberal with two children? The answer is a Republican. Or you want to go a step further, what do you call a liberal with four children? I can even answer that one. Well, the old one was, you know, there's a million different ways to put it. But until you have a child that you're raising, you don't really know the difference between liberalism and conservatism. It all comes down to the next generation and living for the next generation. See, that's the ultimate reason for living, is not for yourself. It's for the next generation. It's to give life. It's like the farmer sacrifices to raise the crop. He sacrifices by getting up in the morning. He sacrifices by working in the cold and working in the rain and working even in the winter. And then he sees the product of his labor in the form of the fruit or in the form of the wheat, which is, of course, the fruit of the grass. That's the product of his labor. He lived for his child, the crop. And that's the purpose of a human being's life. Now, of course, you can say, well, writing or painting or sculpting or creating is also a product of a life, and it is. But they're not mutually exclusive. You can raise children and write a book. You can raise children and do a radio show. You can do numerous things to raise children. But until you've had the fulfillment of seeing a child raised up, I don't think you really understand what it's all about, nor can you really understand it's so important to support family values.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
I go to a food thing now. People like that segment, but it's true because it's real. I go to my favorite Chinese, the one that doesn't feel like I just ate crazy glue when I leave. You know what I'm saying? That's how I judge Chinese restaurants. Either it's either a CG or a non-CG. Not MSG anymore. It's crazy glue. Because the real bad ones, you walk out, you lipstick together, you start to talk like Bonnie Hank. Your average Chinese restaurant you leave today, because you get your that bunny thing. So I go to my favorite place where it's not like a crazy glue sauce. And the food was excellent, but I noticed something. If I order the seafood clay pot in this place, which I did, they cut back on the seafood by the number of shrimp, and they added tofu, which I hate. I can't stand fried tofu. I hate it. I don't like tofu to begin with. What's with the tofu? The reason they ate tofu is they didn't have meat. What do you think they ate tofu for a million years in China? Or 2,000, 5,000? What do you think is better for you? You believe that baloney? The rich ones ate meat when they can get their hands on it, or a duck or a fish. It was the poor, the peasants in the field, you let them eat tofu. So now I have to engage myself. Like, the point is, though, they're cutting back on the protein. I went to another place, a cheaper Chinese restaurant, local. And, oh, no, it's another, the dim sum that I ordered before the meal. Normally it was four pieces in an order. Now it was three. I said, wait a minute, am I imagining? Because if you're eating with someone, you get two each. So now you each have one, and already I'm a fast eater. I want the next one before the person I'm eating with already ate the first. I want the third. And it's gone. You don't know what to do. You can't split a dim sum in half. It sticks to the chopstick. What I'm getting at is they're cutting back. It's like three-quarter value now. So I'm cooking at home more. In fact, I had fun this morning. I bicycled to a food implement store, like these fancy stores that won't be in business soon, with stuff that nobody needs, you know, kitchen items that nobody wants or needs. My mother had a kitchen with a few pots in it and pans with four burners, an electric stove, in a tiny kitchen. In fact, you can see a picture of it in a previous book of mine. She could knock out five restaurant meals for one at one sitting on those little electric burners with aluminum pots. And wonderful, incredible meals, complicated. Today you go into a house, a $10 million kitchen that's never been cooked in. Never been. In fact, if someone cooked in it, they might have to renovate the kitchen. The average house in Tiburon, California, are you kidding me? Huh. What, are you kidding? We don't cook in here. We just do freebase in here. Yeah. So the point is, I'm cooking at home. So I go to this food implement store, and I bought something for myself that I've wanted for 20 years. It's not that it's expensive. It's just that I haven't gotten around to. You know what it is? Funny. It's like a kitchen weight, a cast iron weight that you put on top of a piece of chicken or a hamburger. So while it's cooking, the fat goes out of it. You know what I'm talking about? I've always wanted one. To me, that was like a cooking advanced cooking to have one of those. Anyone had like a kitchen weight? Because ever since I was a kid in Queens, if I would go to the luncheonette for a hamburger for lunch, I have to make this admission. I did have hamburgers at one point in my life. I know it's a crime against BO's administration. But they would always have like on the griddle the weight to push the fat out. So I bought one of those, and to go with it, then there was an Italian thing that they were selling on the same order that was not cast iron. It was like 10 pounds, a circle of stainless steel. And it was like an Italian. They couldn't sell them, though. Everyone wanted the small guy. It's a big round one that you sit on top. You put it on top of two steaks or on top of a chicken. You can make mate chicken, which is unbelievable. You cook in the weight, and then as it's cooking, the fat runs out. So I bought those things. They're in the boxes and the plastic, and I'll never use them. But I did it because I actually am starting to cook home more and more. I'll give you three reasons why I'm cooking home more and more. A, I hate driving. B, living in the Bay Area, I cannot stand listening to the drivel coming out of the mouths of moronic liberals. C, I don't want to hear the word Obama while I'm eating. I want to puke. I can't. I start to boil. I don't want to hear it. D, they're cutting back on the good protein. E, I don't know whether they're using melamine in some of the protein. D, I don't know how much of the produce or the garlic comes from China. I tend to buy only local. Northern California produced everything from garlic to onions to carrots. It's got to be organic. I will not buy any vegetable that's not noted. Its country of origin is not known. And restaurants, I don't know where it's. They don't know where it's coming from at all. And you don't have to drive. You can drink more. And plus, it's more interesting to eat at home. Why is it more interesting? I could watch a movie, or I could watch nothing. I could sit in silence. Who says you have to talk during a meal? You know, it's another thing I don't understand. Why do people scream in certain restaurants? There's a fish joint in San Francisco that's actually, it's been around forever. It's on California Street. I don't even remember the name of it. Very famous, mainly tourists and like people who went to dumb schools like Harvard and Yale and prep schools where they learned to be morons and rob people. People without a conscience and without a soul basically go in there. With bow ties. I've lived here for, I don't know how many years, 74, 84, over 30 years living in Gomorrah here, Sodom and Gomorrah. I've always walked past it. I've always looked in, and it always looks like a Good Time Charlie fish restaurant, like a New York fish house. But I don't go in because every time I do, it's so noisy, the noise blows you out of the door. But I ate there last week. It was good, except the noise was horrible. So I had to take the food home halfway through the meal. The question is, why do people scream in restaurants? Grown-ups. Is this an example of like children who grew up without any parental controls? Am I looking at this now? It must be, like people in their 40s, now that I think about it. They were raised by hippie parents. And they don't understand you don't have to scream in a restaurant. Who knows? What am I talking about here? What's the difference? But how come my mother could cook so well on four electric burners and a little stove with aluminum foil underneath the... She put aluminum foil underneath the electric grate so it wouldn't stain the stove. You hear this? She had to preserve a stove that must have cost $92. But when you went in that woman's house, the little refrigerator, you couldn't walk past the stove, by the way. If she was cooking the little pantry kitchen, it was an embarrassment because... Do I have to spell it out for you the way people kiss in Northern California, the Marin kiss with the hips back in case someone should mistake? With the So to walk through the kitchen while your mother was cooking was an impossibility. It was the same with the dining room. The dining room was so small. God bless her. When she opened that up for Thanksgiving and you had 12 people around it, you risked a hernia, a rupture. You didn't know what you were going to get if you're walking with the objects from the... The hi-fi, they called there, with the pointy ends on the hi-fi. The blonde furniture came in. A point on it, it could emasculate you just going for the appetizer. You had to find a way to step over things to get around the people sitting at the table to go to the... Boy, do I miss it. I miss it because now you wind up alone with a TV tray watching Wolf Blitzer with a takeout turkey.
Savage.
Here's another story. Gannett to cut 1,000 newspaper jobs. They'll have to build new cafes just when Starbucks is going out of business. Just when Starbucks should stay in business for all of the out-of-work intellectuals who are going to be sitting in cafes with laptops, sending hate mail to a talk radio shows who will still be here when they're gone, the coffee shops are closing. 1,000 newspaper people will be fired. Payroll. Instead of changing their policies and starting to appeal to the readers, again, they won't change course. They won't change editorial course. They keep the same anti-American, anti-military, anti-police, anti-family, pro-gay, pro-terrorist editorial policies, and they can't put two and two together. I could save any newspaper in this country in 90 days. I could save any newspaper in this country in 90 days if only they gave the people what they want. You know, they say, there used to be a statement, if you build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door. You know, it's 100% true. I can name five people I know who built a better mousetrap who are very wealthy today. They came into a marketplace flooded, and they created a new product within that marketplace, and they became successful. I'm an example of it. The marketplace was filled with talkers when I got here. People said it could never be done. They said my accent was too New York. They said I could never overcome the liberal bias. Well, how did I do it? Because I gave the people what they want to hear, because I believe it down to the last molecule of DNA in my body. I'll give you another example. I complain, and too much, I complain far too much about food on this show. I admit it. In going through the stories from my autobiography and looking at what the proofreader sends back to me, and she's a young lady in another state who doesn't know me at all, I realize that I seem to spend a lot of time on food. I become my mother, in essence. Those of you who listen to the show get the joke. I don't mind if I became my mother. I loved it dearly. But there's a bigger point to it. I'm obsessed with food, with decent food. I don't mean great food. I'm not into fancy restaurants. I don't have the patience. I don't sit like a decadent slob over whether they tossed something with a certain this or that. I can't take it. I didn't grow up that way. I don't care whether it delights me. I care whether it's excellent quality and it's cooked right and it's fabulous. I don't need to see whether some chef with an earring and running open sores on his neck made something that he learned in a cooking school from some other moron. It doesn't do a thing for me. French Laundry they run to. To sit there like a putz and they come, oh, I ate in there. You should see. It took me 2 years to get the resume. Oh, and what did they get out of it? That you can't get anywhere else. But you can't cook yourself. Nothing but hot air. It's part of the decadence of the society we're living in. This stupidity and foolishness. I ate an ex-restaurant. I am so fed up with restaurants, I went to the Subway sandwich shop today. I stood online like every other moron. Just stood with the morons. I became a moron. Loved it. No, I didn't love waiting. It was jammed. Why is it jammed? Why is the Subway sandwich store jammed? I saw they were running an ad that... Sandwich is $3.99 for an extra buck. It's a foot long. So I said, you know what? I can't take restaurants anymore. That was after the Chinese poisoning the other day. The lip stuck. the lip sticking, when she looked in my face and tongue lashed me, screaming at me, how come you're saying it's grease? There's no grease on it. That's like the guy who gets caught in bed with another woman and his wife comes home and he looks at the wife and says, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes? I'm sitting in the restaurant, the dish is coated with grease, and she says, no grease in the food! Why you say grease? Cook don't make grease! She knows me 20 years, tells me there's no grease. I took my finger, put it on this piece of chicken, and ran it across a napkin. It looked like a snail walked across the napkin. I threw the money down and said, here, I'm paying. You don't pass it, I pay. That was it. 20 years, goodbye. So I go to Subway sandwich store, make it quick. Finally, I get on, it's my turn. The only part I couldn't take were the people with cell phones ahead of me. I wanted to break this. I did have anger management problems in there. I got to admit it. Three men, I wanted to grab their wrists and take their cell phones and throw them in the mayonnaise. Not the man, the cell phone. And tell them, shut up and stop talking like a chick. Shut your mouth. Take the cell phone out of your hand. You sound like a stupid teenage girl. You sound like Lindsay Lohan. Can't you shut up? There are people online here. Shut up! I didn't say it. I had to control it. I did almost leave once. I did almost grab the phones twice. But I didn't. I finally managed to get to the counter. And you know what? The service was great. There's five people. Now look at the value you get for $5. This is not an infomercial. They don't advertise on the show. I'm making a bigger point. Okay, foot-long tuna. So the first guy puts five scoops of tuna fish with mayonnaise on it. I know the mayonnaise is no good for me. Great. Now, just the vegetables alone that they put on were worth the $5. If you just want a vegetarian sandwich, it's worth it. I have half the sandwich sitting here. I can only eat a half a sandwich. Now, that means that two people can eat lunch for $5, a half a sandwich each. I'm a big eater. I can only eat a half of the sandwich. The other half is sitting here in the refrigerator. And I hope it will still be here in the year 2010 for someone who tries to steal it, as is very common in radio stations around the country. Everyone knows if you leave your food in the refrigerator, it will be stolen. At least it was in my experience at a radio station. So I guess I wanted to see what it's like to be poor again. And I decided that if Obama wins and he taxes us to death and does what I'm sure he's going to do, which is reduce the wealth of the nation to ashes, you know what? I'll survive one way or the other. I know how to eat a Subway sandwich. I could eat in a fine restaurant. I prefer the sandwich to the restaurant. I have very fine cars, some very expensive. And my favorite car is my least expensive car. It happens to be a Chevrolet camper van conversion with a television in it and captain's chairs. And this weekend, you know what? I put aside the expensive cars. Because no matter how you try to say you don't know what you're driving, you do know what you're driving. And you are making a statement. The fact is they're great cars. They're wonderful cars. But they're a little too ostentatious and over the top, even though they're wonderful. And people look at them, and you have to put up with that. In the camper van, no one looks at you because they figure, who's the schmuck in the van there? And that's good. Room for the dogs, cooler full of food built in. I drove out to the beach, actually not to the beach, but to Highway 1 North. I haven't been there in 20 years, out on Highway 1 in Northern California to play like Nick's Cove and Eddie's this and like a little place. And, I got a fish thing and took it in the car. The dogs ate French fries. They went off their diet. It was a pleasure. Nobody bothers you. So if Obama turns it into a Marxist nation, I'll survive. I will learn how to play dominoes as they do in Cuba. I will probably have to give my van over to because it's 2 years old and it's far too new for a white man in America. I'll probably have to turn my van over to a bureaucrat under Obama to be used for a government work. And, so I'll buy an old Volkswagen like I once had and I'll eat in Subway and that'll be that. Over the years, I've talked about the astonishing ascension of the Muslims in the 7th century. I've done it over and over again about the most amazing story of conquest in the whole history of the human race. And it was about the smashing of the Byzantine army, etc., and I went on. But I then went on to tell you that after the Arabs had conquered a goodly portion of the world, including the Persians, and you don't know that the Persians at the time were not originally Muslim. They moved forward into up to China, and they knocked over Egypt, etc., and they went on and on and on. Then Eventually, the Arab advance was stopped for good by the French at the Battle of Poitiers, but that's because they had a different kind of Frenchman then than they do today. And then, of course, the point I am getting at is that after this conquest, interesting things occurred, which was the wonderful effect upon the human race after the wars by the Arab intelligence, because the Arab intelligence had been flung across the world more swiftly and dramatically than had the Greek mind 1,000 years before. And as a result, the whole world west of China was intellectually stimulated, breaking up old ideas and developing new ones. It was enormous. And so in Persia, the Arabic mind came into contact with the Zoroastrian and the Christian doctrines, with the scientific Greek literature. And it was found not only in Greek, but in Syrian translations. The Arab mind found Greek learning in Egypt. And then in Spain, strangely enough, the Arab mind found an active Jewish tradition of speculation and discussion, and they worked together. In Central Asia, the Arab mind met Buddhism and the material achievements of the Chinese. It learned the manufacture of paper, and they learned how to make printed books from the Chinese. And then it came in touch with Indian mathematics and philosophy. And you know what happened? The intolerant self-sufficiency of the early days of faith, which made the Quran seem the only possible book, was soon dropped by the Muslim. And learning sprang up everywhere in the footsteps of the Arab conquerors. By the 8th century, there was an educational organization throughout the whole Arabized world. In the 9th century, learned men in the schools of Cordoba in Spain were corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand. The Jewish mind assimilated very readily with the Arab, and for a time the two Semitic races worked together. What I am telling you is that by the 9th century, the Muslim had become a progressive, advanced mind. And right now we have retrograde throwbacks, such as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran, who are actually pre-9th century Muslim in what he says, where he tries to impose the Quran upon the world. That was dropped by the 9th century when they lived with others. So what I'm telling you is that the average Muslim knows this. The average Muslim knows this, that there are throwbacks who are trying to drag the world back, not to the 9th century, but to the 7th century. And that is why you must fight them with everything in you, particularly if you are a woman or if you are gay. You must join me in this battle. It's the last battle there is on this earth. There will never be another one like it.